Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it, and
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. Glad to have you with us today. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope has the day off. Zach Jones alongside. I don't normally like to start the shows, any show, encouraging you to go listen to something else. But I do want to let you know that there is a very serious situation unfolding on the New York State Thruway. The Interstate 90 is closed as of now. Westbound from the Pembroke exit and eastbound from the Depew exit because of a bus rollover crash. There are, as of now, according to our sister station, WBEN News Radio 930, at least three fatalities reported in this tour bus crash. According to New York State Police, a total of 52 people were on board. I will do my level best to keep an eye on this story, mostly let you know if and when the roadway is open, but it's a very dire, very serious situation unfolding this afternoon. East of Buffalo on the New York State Thruway. So if you are planning on traveling, it would make other plans. Obviously, big traffic tie-ups. Traffic is being diverted at those exits that I mentioned, westbound Pembroke, eastbound Depew. So you can expect huge delays on the roadways around those exits. And certainly keep the people involved in this and their families in your thoughts. You know, if and when I find out the road is open and there's more details, I'll try to pass that along. But if you're looking for up-to-the-minute news on this situation and want to keep track of it, I would encourage you to tune in to 9:30 a.m. WBEN News Radio 9:30. I wanted to at least mention that off the top here before I start talking about Tre'Davious White's unknown injury and gambling, because we got a very serious situation going on the thruway. Again, at least three fatalities as of now. That's just from the last 10 minutes or so, according to New York State Police. Could be more. I mean, when you see worded like that, at least, you can be bracing for there to be more bad news. So 52 people on board the bus, it rolled over. The photos are, it's a ghastly looking situation. So I just wanted to get that on the table at the outset here and let you know that we'll be doing the best we can. But again, News Radio 930 WBEN to stay on top of that situation. They're built for stuff like this, that station. So hopefully they can get you the information you need. But again, if you're traveling or planning to travel, I mean, if you were on the 90 or are caught up in it, then, well, you're caught up in it. And, you know, there's not going to be a lot that you can do right now. But if you were heading in either of those directions, planning on using that chunk of road for part of your travel here heading into the weekend, try to make some alternative plans, because it doesn't sound like something that's going to clear up real fast. So there is that. Hope you all having a good Friday here. I missed yesterday. I was really bummed out about that. I just did not. I just kind of fell apart in the morning. It just came on me. I don't know if something I ate or what, but I got really sick during the day and missed the show. And I'm bummed out about that. And, you know, I don't like missing work, period. But I especially felt badly because Mike is off today. And then I'm off after this. Today's my last day until after Labor Day. This is standard operating procedure for our show. I almost always am off this last week of August heading into the Labor Day holiday weekend. So it'll be, you know, yesterday would have been my last chance to be together with Mike on the show until we're there. And by there, I mean the football season is upon us. Like we come back from, you know, the Labor Day weekend, the Monday off, and show up on Tuesday, and there's a game on Thursday. Doesn't involve the Bills, but still, there's a game on Thursday, Cowboys-Eagles, and then Sunday night, the Bills and Ravens play. And so it's creeping closer and closer as summer is winding down here, and I wish I had more clarity on what happened to Tre'Davious White yesterday. We still don't know. This is the way, you know, things sometimes operate. I mean, occasionally you might get word from, you know, one of the big reporters, or even Sal from time to time will get tipped off on what actually is going on with a player that suffers an injury like Tre'Davious White did yesterday during practice. I know I went back and listened to Sal's appearance with Mike yesterday while I was homesick, and, you know, Sal laid out, you know, what the scenario looked like and everything, but we don't know. And this was forecast by Sal and Mike talking yesterday afternoon in the 5 o'clock hour. There is no media availability today. There is no practice. The what the Bills are doing today is flying to Tampa, and Sal is involved in that. We're hoping that he arrives on time and that we can visit with him in the 5 o'clock hour, but I doubt he's going to have any information, because again, the Bills don't have any media availability, and I just would be surprised if they put out a news release themselves detailing what happened to Tre'Davious White and what kind of timeline we're talking about. I know I heard Sal and Mike talking about whether White would be on the trip or not, and even that can be, I don't know, false flag is a little bit strong, but like not always indicative. Sal mentioned how Cam Lewis didn't make the trip last week to Chicago, but was right back at practice this week. So knowing or not knowing whether Tre'Davious White is on this trip could get you a lean one way or the other. I would say obviously if he's on the trip, that would be encouraging. But again, we're not going to know until maybe after the game tomorrow night. I mean, McDermott's not going to do media until then. So I would imagine that's going to be the next. That's a long time to go with uncertainty about a position we have largely been stressing over since before the draft, and certainly since Maxwell Hairston went down with an injury early in camp. He is still a ways away. It's been speculated often by people who cover the team and talk about the team, including us in here, that maybe IR to start the year is in the window for Maxwell Hairston, the Bills' first-round draft pick at corner. It was a nice story when camp started that Tre'Davious White was seemingly outplaying the rookie. And, you know, it was said before Hairston got hurt even that if, you know, this is a true competition, White was winning it. But again, listening to Sal yesterday with Mike, didn't love his weekend in Chicago. Well, really, the practice. I don't think White saw the field against the Bears in the game itself on Sunday night. But in the practice session, Sal thought it was uneven, maybe. I don't know. That wasn't his word, but that's how it sounded to me when he was describing it. So I guess we're all sort of back to on alert about corner two and what they're going to do, what the Bills are going to do there. And a lot of it obviously hinges on knowing what the way forward is going to be for Tre'Davious White. Cross your fingers, cross your toes, cross everything you got that you can cross, that he's not seriously hurt. The way Sal described the scene yesterday that I heard, White looked visibly frustrated initially when talking with trainers while still on the field. He wasn't on the field, but you know, on the on the surface of the field, like off to the side behind the bench, is how it was described. And there was frustration there. And eventually he got a ride from the field back to the locker rooms they're using now, because they're not using the game day locker rooms in the stadium currently. So be careful about assuming things because of the card. It was a long ride, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, we don't know. And we may not know for more than 24 hours yet. Right, maybe more like 30 hours before we have any information from the Bills. Again, if something breaks on that, we'll be right here on top of it to fill you in. But I'm wondering now how fans are feeling about what should the Bills do about that position. Again, I heard Sal this morning with Sneaky Joe DiBiase saying that, you know, Dane Jackson, Jamarcus Ingram, like those are the first two guys up. There's a draft pick in Dorian Strong there as well. I think Strong is making the team. I'd be surprised if they cut him, even though he was a Saturday pick, right round six, I think. But I don't think he's ahead of Jackson and nor Ingram at this point. But it was interesting to hear Sal say that in his view. And this makes sense to me anyway. Like Dane Jackson is probably, he's the next most experienced guy. He's got, you know, time in the system, of course, prior to his 1 year departure in Carolina. But the way Sal said it was like, if Tre'Davious White isn't hurt, that Dane Jackson is probably in trouble to make the team. And yet, if he is, maybe he's in line to be the starter, which is kind of a little bit of a riddle, right? Like you're telling me he's the next man up, but also if everything goes well, if White is not injured seriously and they can count on him to be back practicing before the opener and obviously on the field for the opener, that maybe because of the other numbers they've got, Dorian Strong, a new draft pick, Jamarcus Ingram, who they've liked, that maybe Jackson is an odd man out at corner. So it's kind of like an all or nothing thing. If there's injuries, enough injuries, Hairston and White particularly, then maybe Jackson is penciled in as a starter until anyone else can get back. But if, say, White isn't seriously hurt, maybe Jackson's in trouble to make the team. And that does not give you, I don't think, it doesn't give me a ton of confidence in the whole operation, right? So what I'm wondering is, are we back to thinking about Rasul Douglas? Are we back to thinking about Stephon Gilmore? Remember him? You know, Douglas is a more recent Bill, more familiar with the recent system here. So maybe that makes more sense. But would you want them to go into that market? I think, you know, thinking about this final preseason game and then cut down on Tuesday all around the league, you know, corner was already somewhat in the, you know, in focus for Bills fans as a problem position, and maybe you'd be thinking about supplementing it with someone else who maybe you like better than the guys you have here in depth positions at corner. You know, safety could fit this same bill. Although I myself have kind of calmed down on safety after spending all day Monday talking about Cole Bishop and DeMar Hamlin. But that's just me. But between now and, say, next Wednesday, after cutdowns on Tuesday, I'm wondering if you have out there, 803-0550 is the number, if you want to share an opinion about this or answer this question, is there a position you think the Bills should be most aggressively pursuing as cutdowns come, right? If there's a guy out there that, because of money and depth at the position, a veteran corner, is that worth trading a day three draft pick next year for? Ahead of, if it's a guy that a team is already planning to release as they get to the, I mean, that can happen. We've seen some trades happen here in the league in the last few days. The 49ers have done a couple of things. The Vikings are said to be pursuing Adam Thielen. I've not seen that's gotten across the finish line yet, but there's, you know, it's always...
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break. And best to you.
It's that time of the year, right? Teams that have guys that just don't fit anymore. It doesn't have to be. I mean, it's never a great sign if a veteran player is going to be released in a numbers game. But it usually is attached to a larger salary. And if they've got a kid who's shown up this year and maybe even somewhat unexpectedly outperformed what they were expecting and outperformed the veteran with the bigger salary, you can end up in a spot where a guy that could still be useful to you is available. So I'm wondering if fans are thinking about that. I definitely am. Again, I'll be away after today, but I'll be paying attention, keeping an eye on it, and curious to see what the Bills do end up doing there, if anything. Again, we're sort of in a holding pattern because we don't know. The team obviously knows, so whatever. Their actions maybe will even precede any speculation about Tuesday and waiver claims and trades that could happen to supplement the position. I think if we would see the Bills do something between now and cutdown day, I think between now and tomorrow night, say, when we might find out more information about Tre'Davious White's injury, that would maybe be a tell, right? Indicator that they are trying to find someone to supplement what they've got. Because I got to tell you, like, if Dane Jackson's first in line and he's realistically in danger of not making the team if other guys are healthy, that doesn't sound like the best plan to me to be your starter. Now, if it's a situation where, you know, White has something that's, you know, a couple of weeks, he's in doubt to make the opener, but he could be back in time, or he could miss a week or two. Maybe you feel like you can get by without doing anything outside of the roster right now, as far as acquiring a player, going and signing Rasul Douglas, who is still available out there, or Stephon Gilmore, or any other name that comes available when cutdowns get here. You know, that is probably prudent not to, like, overreact, but if it's anything major, like multiple games missed type situation with White, boy, I'd be ready to get pretty busy looking at what might be available out there to me. Again, either via trade prior to Tuesday, or just simply combing the market and looking for guys that, you know, you've got, you know, good grades on, knowing if they were to become available, then this is someone you might feel like is better than what you've got in-house here. So I would think the Bills personnel department is working hard on that, again, in case they end up needing it. 803-0550 is the number. We've got a final preseason game coming up on Saturday at 7:30. Pre-game coverage tomorrow begins at 2 p.m., I believe. There is a special, I'm going to say special, Sports Talk Saturday. It's special because my kid's co-hosting it. Zach, do you know who, is he doing that with you? Or is that?
No, it's going to be with Josh.
With Josh. Okay, Josh Schmidt. So, you know, it's pre-game. So 11 a.m. coverage will begin heading towards tomorrow night's preseason finale in Tampa. And the one thought I have that to me is, I don't think it's exactly a hot take, but it's an opinion that I feel pretty strongly about looking ahead to tomorrow's game. I'm thrilled to hear that Josh Allen's not going to play. That has been my preferred mode of operation here for multiple years. It's never happened that he hasn't played at least a few snaps in the preseason, but it looks like that's what's going to happen here. McDermott said yesterday that Allen would not be playing in this game, but Cole Bishop is going to play. I don't know if McDermott definitively talked about Curtis Samuel as it pertains to this game, but that is a guy that I would play. I would play Curtis Samuel close to what you consider to be his normal amount of snaps for a regular season game tomorrow. And the reason for that is not to see what he can do for me. It's mostly to see if he can get through a game. It's a little backwards, right? If he's going to matter in the big scheme of things, like if he's secure and on the team, then obviously you can throw this out the window. But I think his injury history and his inability to stay healthy, going back to last season and into this summer, I feel like the thing I'm most concerned about is not what he can do for me if he's healthy. Because I think if he's healthy, we're not even having this conversation. He's on your team. But he's had trouble staying healthy, and if I'm going to count on him, I would want to see him play 20 snaps, 30 snaps. I want to see him get a workload tomorrow. Again, not to see what he can do, but to see physically how he responds to it, right? And this is a little cold and maybe harsh also, if those aren't somewhat synonymous in this context, but if he can't get through 20 to 30 snaps in a preseason game, I don't care who's throwing him the ball. I don't even care if they throw him the ball. I don't care if they hand it to him on jet sweeps. I just want him to take snaps and actively participate in the game. And if he can physically get through that, then I might feel a little bit better about him being on the roster. He is the guy to me that I'd be most worried about. And look, releasing him is not ideal. You're not saving any money. You're going to have more dead money piled on to the dead money you've already got. But it would free up a roster spot for someone else who maybe you feel like you can count on more. And that is really where my mind is at with Curtis Samuel. This is a player I liked the idea of signing him, but last year just did not really go well at all, to put it mildly. He did contribute towards the end when he was assumed to be healthy, but this has been uneven again, and he qualifies to me as a starter or a veteran player who, if he's healthy and there's no question about this, then he's on your team. And usually you protect guys like that from playing in the preseason and getting hurt. But if I can't get him through 20 or 30 snaps tomorrow, then I think maybe the decision makes itself for me. And I would want to take that out for a spin before I just put him in bubble wrap and say, okay, we're saving him for the opener against Baltimore and for the regular season. Because if the first time he has a regular game workload, something's going to go sideways for him physically, then I think I've done my roster a disservice. So I don't know if that's exactly a hot take or anything, but I'm hoping Curtis Samuel plays and plays a decent amount in this game tomorrow. Let's fire up the phones here. CJ is first up this segment. Hi, CJ. Thank you for calling. You're on the air here on WGR.
Hey, I appreciate it. So I do like what you said as far as like going to get like some corners to fill these roles just in case Trey White isn't available. But I would go a different route, and I would say bolster the D-line to help the back end. And that's just – I know the Bills have been looking for it. They use a first-round pick on Rousseau and then the second-round pick on Boogie Basham. And then they've been looking for this D-line. If you really believe that's what you need to win, go get it. Because we've seen last year in the playoffs, Benford went down with an injury. We're back where we are right now. Greg Rousseau – Douglas was on one side, mm-hmm. and then we have somebody else on the other side.
That was Elam.
So, like, why not just really, if you think you want to help the back end with the front, go get the front. If you think for years that's what you needed,
CJ, the thing that I would say to you is that they've already done that. I mean, they poured resource upon resource, not all the way back to the draft with Rousseau and Boogie Basham, who moved along relatively quickly. But, you know, A.J. Epenesa was after that. And then you've got Ed Oliver mixed in there. And then you've got this year where you've got a second-round pick in T.J. Sanders, a fourth-round pick in Deion Walker. You've got free agents in Larry Ogunjobi and Joey Bosa. I mean, Michael Hoyt. They poured resources in. I think their D-line is on the floor. Like, they've got their D-linemen. I know we can all get intoxicated by the idea of, like, a Micah Parsons or a Trey Hendrickson or something. But, and look, those players are players that are of a caliber that the Bills simply do not have here. Rousseau's the closest, probably. Maybe Bosa if he's healthy. But that's always been a question mark with him. I'd be really surprised if they did anything really meter moving at defensive line. I think they've done their work there. And that's not been a position of problem here in the spring and summer. They've been relatively healthy up there. So I'd be surprised if they did something to supplement that group. I think the question would be corner, and then maybe to a lesser degree, at least for me today, as opposed to Monday, safety. Thank you for the phone call, though, CJ. Do appreciate it. We'll hit up a timeout. Our buddy Sammy P, Sam Padiotovich from Bet Sweats, coming up right after the break. We've got Matt Perino from the Shout Podcast and NewYorkUpstate.com coming up at 4. Sale in the 5 o'clock hour, depending on travel. That is the way forward here today. Again, thank you for joining me along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.